BBC Radio World's very good morning to you. It is the phone in with me, Jason Mahead. So lovely to have you along this morning. Thank you for being there. And we turn our attention to technology now, because a new report says in the next 15 years, robots are going to be doing our laundry, security drones will be patrolling our properties, and renewable energy will be powering the greenhouse. So it got us thinking here at Radio World this morning. What was the appliance or the gadget that rocked your world? Do you remember being wowed by a Walkman or marvelling at a microwave? And that moment, do you remember it, when you could record on a VCR? Maybe you were Betamax or VHS. Love to hear your stories, please. 03700 100 110. Anyone out there have a cine camera? That moment where you started filming the family parties or the weddings. Love to hear from you on the text 81012. Emails jason@bbc.co.uk, Twitter at BBC Radio Wales. I put a picture up on social media earlier of what looked like a Ferguson VHS recorder, although someone quite rightly points out it says JVC on it, but it does look like a Ferguson video star, and the responses have been terrific. This is Keith in Bridgend, who says, I still have a video recorder, cassette and DVD player all in working order. Mark says, a classic top loader, Jason. We went all posh and had one with a remote control on a wire. Yes, I remember those. Richard on Twitter, I brought a mini disc player and Walkman in the 90s, firmly believing them to be the future. Still have the Walkman and a few discs. Brian says, I had that Ferguson video star that you're talking about. Would probably still work now. Well, Fevzi Turkalp is from gadgetdetective.com and joins us. Good morning, Fevzi.
Morning.
Good morning. Good to have you. Can you remember the old Ferguson video star? Did you have one?
Yeah, we had the JVC. I remember we got a Sony, because we thought it was going to be better, because it had the Betamax, which was technically better. I remember we got it in a high street store, and I thought about it, and I did some research, and I thought, okay, this is technically better, but it's going to lose the format war. So we went back and exchanged it for a JVC, and I think it was one of the first front loaders. It was about 1982, and I remember, we've actually still got it. It weighs about 19 kilos.
You need to keep that. That is going to be worth something in the future,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, if anyone ever breaks it, sure. Hitting them over the head with it, it's sure 19 thing. Kilos of well, solid metal.
You know, Betamax didn't completely phase out, because my mates, they gasp at this. They say, oh, I can't believe anyone had a Betamax. Well, in the broadcast industry, when I first moved to BBC Wales and started editing for the nightly news, we were cutting on Betamax. Yeah. So Beta was kind of like the standard industry model.
Sure, and for a long time there was Beta Cam, which was, you know, the Sony's pro format. Yeah, and I don't know if you remember, but Philips had a cassette which was reversible, you know, like an audio cassette with an A and a B side. They had a rival format called Video 2000, and it was for video cassette, like VHS cassettes and Betamax, but it was, again, a different format, and halfway through you flip it over and play the other side.
But just there like were other things, weren't there? Like Laserdisc. I remember them coming in people saying, wow, Laserdisc, they're going to be the next big thing. And they didn't really take off, did they?
Yeah. I mean, technically, brilliant. I mean, amazingly, actually, an analog disc, not digital, but an analog disc. And they were huge. And the problem was the players were expensive, but the discs themselves were killers. I mean, you know, in today's money, they'd have been sort of well over £100 for a disc. And that's, you know, would you pay £100 for a movie? Probably not, you know. And that's why you had all those places like Blockbusters and places where you could rent movies, because they were so expensive to buy a tape of it.
Blockbuster, magnificent memories. Fevzi, stay there. We're going to do some text, emails, tweets in just a moment, and we'll talk about whether robots doing our laundry is going to happen after we go to Jamie in Newport. Good morning, Jamie.
Good morning.
Morning. How are you today?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good.
This is a bit rubbish, though.
Apparently, you've still got a Walkman.
Yes, I still use a Walkman. I still do my own mixtapes, and I still got CDs and records and everything else.
Well, yeah, we've all got CDs and records, but I can't remember the last time I used my Walkman. What's that? Is it the CD one or the actual cassette?
I've got a cassette Walkman. Right. Yes, sometimes it chews the tape. Sometimes it plays a bit funny and slow, but I do love it.
Yeah. What about when you want to skip a track, though? Because, you know, when those dull songs come on, because I can flick them through on my old smartphone, can't I? But you have to put up with the rubbish third song on an album.
No, because I make my own mixtapes.
Okay, what's on?
I don't have to listen.
What's...
I do my own mixtapes, so basically I don't have to listen to the rubbish songs.
What's on your mixtapes then, James?
Everything from Erasure, Pet Shop Boys, ABBA, Dark Side of the Moon, everything.
Nice. Sounds like a Radio World's playlist, that.
Yes, and I haven't got to worry about losing internet or having data or nothing, and just stick my Walkman on and forget about the world.
Yeah, is it still in good nick?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Actually, I got a few. There's a couple that doesn't work because the belts are gone.
Yeah.
But the one or two that do work fine.
Fantastic stuff. Thank you, James. Nice to talk to you. That's amazing, Fevzy. You see, the old classics. I remember that film, Guardians of the Galaxy, came out a few years ago. And he's got one, isn't he? The old, what's his name? I can't remember his name. The guy... What's his name? Star-Lord. That's right, yeah. Star-Lord. He's got what he presses play, doesn't he? And all those 70s tunes come out. Yeah, and I often wondered whether that would spawn a new generation of Walkman lovers.
Well, I don't know, because, I mean, vinyls obviously come back, but I think cassette tape may be just a reach too far because the quality... Mind you, we put up with crummy MP3s for years when the quality wasn't substantially better than a cassette tape. I remember the first time I was a student and I went into Tottenham Court Road in London and I went into a shop and there was a Walkman and I couldn't believe I could walk down the road having music literally inside my head because I wasn't really a headphone user. And the ability to walk down, you know, a busy street and just have the music not sort of outside but inside, it was a revelation to be able to do that. And it was quite chunky. And I loved mini discs. You had all the advantages of being able to record as you would with cassette tape, but then you could edit it.
Yeah.
And it was fantastic.
Well, again, here in the radio industry, you know, we use mini disc. You know, we recorded on tape and also on mini disc as well for many, many years. Tavion is with us. Morning, Tave. How are you?
How are you, Jason?
Yeah, I'm good. Thanks for calling, Tave. What you got then?
I've got I think it's 81 or 82 Panasonic video camera. It's about the size of a television camera, no?
Oh, wow. Wonderful.
But the funny story is I took it to watch my local team in a cup final. I had two batteries.
Yeah.
I put the one battery in, which run out after about 20 minutes. Yeah. So I put the other battery in, so the whole game was condensed into about 35 minutes.
What was the score at the time?
We won 3-2.
All right, okay. But that lad who scored the winning goal, that's not even on tape, is it?
No. I'd run out...
You see, that's it, the old classic. So it's an 81 Panasonic, yeah?
Yeah, it's in the flight case, it's form, they've got the batteries, the charger, they've got everything. It's on top of the wardrobe.
That's got to be worth something. I don't want to put Fevzy on...
I wouldn't know if it was worth a pound.
Well, I don't want to put Fevzy on the spot, but what I'm going to do is, whilst Fevzy talks to you, I'm going to try and do a little search to see how much it's worth. So, Fevzy, it's an 81 Panasonic camera. What do we think? I mean, that's an old school classic, that, isn't it?
Because I think the problem's going to be with the... I'm assuming it's running off batteries.
Well, so you can talk to each other. Tavion, say hello to Fevzy.
Yes, I've got two batteries for it and I've got a charger.
Can you still get the batteries for it?
I've got the batteries. The batteries are in the... It's complete in the flight case. As I bought it, as it is now.
Yeah, it's amazing when you say a flight case. It reminds me of... when I got a first mobile phone, it wasn't really called a mobile phone, but it was a brick. Well, it was not only a brick, it had a briefcase with it, with a coil for the battery. And you had this briefcase, it looked like you were carrying nuclear codes. And inside it was the battery that would power the phone. And then...
Considering what you can do with a small phone these days, the size of this video camera, it is ridiculous.
So what year did you say you bought it, Dave?
It's about 81, 82,
and
83.
And you recorded onto VHS, yeah?
Yep.
I remember these. I remember you could get them from, like, rental shops as well, couldn't you, if you couldn't afford one? But obviously, you were a bit flush back in the day, were you, Tave?
I was working in the colliery. I was doing all right.
Oh, okay. There's one. I can see one on one site at the moment. And, well, actually, this one is going for 50 quid. So I would say keep hold of it. You don't want to sell it for 50 quid, do you?
Well, it's been there for 40 years.
Yeah,
so
you want to keep hold of
another
that.
Another 20, can't it?
Yeah. And Fevzy, would you recommend my listeners keep hold of any of the old technology that they've got, or should they explore the possibilities of putting it on one of those sites?
So, look, I think there's a balance to be struck, isn't it? I don't believe that people should just go out and buy the latest model, because actually you get much more out of a gadget that you know well I mean, for example, a camera is an ideal example of that. You take far better pictures with a camera that might not be the latest model and the highest resolution, but if you know it well, you can get fantastic pictures from it. By the time, I mean, some things go up in value. I mean, I'm a bit of a synthesizer nut. One of my first gadgets was a Yamaha DX7, which was a very early digital synthesizer. And, you know, some gadgets go up in value because they become collectible. Others, unfortunately, go down. So it's a bit like collecting wine. You know, you can do that. But I think if you can keep it going, do so. And when it's time to find a home for it, instead of selling it for 20 quid, you know, offer it to a museum, because I was in the Science Museum a year or so ago, and I just felt really old because a lot of the stuff that I own was in there as gadgets, you know, my rally chopper bicycle and just very, very...
Oh, the chopper. Mind you, I didn't have a chopper. I had a grifter. I was a rally grifter.
At least
boy.
It wasn't a chipper. That would have been a bit embarrassing. But, yeah.
No, you didn't have a chipper where I was from. If you had a chipper, you were in real trouble.
You get beaten up. you get caught and then you get beaten up. But but seriously, there's, you know, there. I once... gave away something to a telecommunications museum, and they were most grateful for it, and it felt good to know, because some of this stuff is hard to come by, and a lot of it's not working either. And the reason I asked about the batteries is, of course, where you have rechargeable batteries, they'll only recharge a certain number of times, you know, a few hundred times, and then they won't hold much charge anymore. So that can be an issue as well, you know, keeping these things running. What I've done in the past is sometimes with old gadgets, I've bought, you know, one or two or three of the same one on a well-known auction website, and then taking the working bits from each of them and combine them into one working unit.
Oh, really? So, interesting.
And the other thing I love doing is taking really old gadgets and retrofitting really modern technology into them. So you take a piece of 40-year-old kit and stick a solid-state drive in it, and the thing has a heart attack, but suddenly it's got a completely new lease of life.
Well, Fevzi, can you stay with me? Because I'm seeing so many messages that are flying in on old things that people have still got, and they are magnificent. So if you can stay with me, that'd be magnificent. Mike in Bryn Mawr, he's taken me back here as Mike. He says, Jace, can you remember this? I went to my cousin's house one Christmas 40 years ago. He had an Atari video game. It was absolutely incredible. Mike, I'm with you. I had the Atari as well. Absolutely sensational. Goodness me, what have I started this morning talking about technology? Messages flying in. Emails, texts, tweets, and thanks to technology, I can see them all on my screen and I shall read them out. We are talking technology. A new report says in the next 15 years, robots will be doing our laundry and security drones will be patrolling our properties. So it got us thinking, the appliance or gadget that rocked your world. Mike has taken me back this morning with the Atari. Had that, loved that. The Commodore 64. Anyone have one of those? The Spectrum, the ZX Spectrum. Do you remember that? Fevzi Turkalp is my expert this morning alongside me, helping us out as you fire over the emails and the texts and the tweets. Fevzi's from gadgetdetective.com. He can tell us a little bit of history as well. By the way, Fevzi, before I go to Marilyn in Cumbrian, I just have to ask you, robots doing our laundry, is this happening or what?
Yes. Some of it will take longer than we think, but it's already upon us. I mean, I think one of the things that we're going to get is our own personal AI assistants. And you already have the beginnings of it with things like Google Assistant and, you know, the Echo devices and Apple's own voice things. But they're going to get a lot smarter. They're going to be able to, you know, we've seen demonstrations of them ringing up human beings in hairdressers and making appointments for us where the hairdresser doesn't actually know they're talking to a machine. And it's quite flexible. So, for example, if the hairdresser says, well, I can do you at 10 o'clock this morning if you can get here in time, or maybe Thursday afternoon, and then it will understand that and make a choice. And so we're going to have PAs, which is going to be fun. So we're not only just going to have physical help with, you know, we've got robot vacuum cleaners already, although they do look like pizzas, I admit, but still they do their job as long as you don't have stairs. I think what's ahead of that is you'll have all these different machines, robotized AI machines that will do individual tasks. The real holy grail is when you have a generalized device that can do a wide range of tasks. So I've seen a pair of robot arms on a rail, for example, cooking meals, and it does it very well. But ask it to fold your laundry and it's in trouble, not least because it's a pair of arms on a rail in front of your hob. So to get something that is a sort of potentially a humanoid robot that is safe around the house, that doesn't accidentally, you know, step on the dog and kill it or something like that. You know, it will take a while longer, but it is coming. And the ability to talk to all our gadgets and have them talk back to us, not just have smart speakers, but everything will be, you know, you'll say, oh, how interesting, that's got a keyboard on it, how quaint. You know, so that it's all going to happen. And then I would also say we're one of the last generations of pure humans, in the sense that we already have wearable technology, and the next step on from wearables is for the technology to break the skin barrier. So at the moment it's sitting on our skin, be it glasses or watch or what have you, but increasingly we're going to have these things in implanted in us, and that will give us all sorts of additional capabilities as well. So.
Okay, let's go to Marilyn then in Cumbrian. Good morning, Matt, how are you?
Morning, Jason, how are you?
Good morning, today? Yeah, I'm good, thank you. Well, I'm in my element because I'm talking technology.
Tonight.
Say again?
Looking forward to the match tonight.
I suppose, yeah. I suppose we are, yeah. Yeah, yeah, we are. We're all looking forward to it, I suppose, in many ways. Anyway, let's talk about technology, Marilyn.
Well, I want to tell you that the first computer that we had was a VIC-20.
Oh, a VIC-20, yeah.
When we used to play games on it.
Yeah.
And used to shoot aliens and shoot skyscrapers.
Yeah,
that was the first one that we had.
Wasn't that made by Commodore as well?
Yes.
The VIC-20, it was, wasn't it?
Yes, absolutely.
Amazing.
And I'm listening to you today on a JVC, which has got tapes, it's got a radio, and it's got CDs.
Yeah.
And that was the original one that we used to keep the tapes on, because we'd record what was happening on family events.
Yeah.
And then be able to play them, and we still got all our tapes, you know. And of course, that led on then to how the internet changed our lives, because when we talked to you last time, it was about how things had been in lockdown, and I talked about my daughter and granddaughter in Prague.
I remember they were in Prague, yeah.
Yes, and guess what, Jason? They came home on Monday night.
Oh, how wonderful, yes. Marilyn. Yes. That was so sweet.
That was absolutely brilliant. And we obviously, what we've done is that we've kept in contact in the beginning, because we've always been at a distance, a family. We've kept in contact with on Skype in the beginning. And then that was in 2007. My daughter went abroad. And then in 2008, we went on to Facebook and FaceTiming. And we've recorded all our family events, as it were, even before lockdown, on Facebook.
You see, that's why it's so important, you know, because I suppose, Fevzi, what we're talking about here, Marilyn there, and I remember her talking to us about missing her family during lockdown as well. Had it not been for the smartphone and the laptop, you know, she'd been struggling to keep in touch with her family.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? So we had all this technology in our hands. Most of us had it already, but most of us hadn't, you know, used video calling to any great extent. And, you know, there was this sharp learning curve where people came up to speed, and suddenly you could see your loved ones, typically on, you know, even on a big tablet. It became really nice, and the ability to share video clips and so forth. It made a huge difference to a lot of people. It's not the same as being able to hold someone's hand that you know that you love and miss, but it was, you know, it was a lot better than it would have been if this had happened, you know, even 10 years ago, and certainly 20 years ago. It would have been very psychologically a very different affair, I think.
Absolutely. Thank you, Fevzi, for now. I'm delighted to say that Fevzi is staying with me to talk about gadgets, because the response from you is utterly incredible this morning. Thank you all very much. Marilyn, lovely to talk to you. I can see Cliff, I can see Matt calling us, so we'll come to you in just a moment. James says, if memory serves me right, Jason, video cassette recorders were hundreds of pounds back then, but now you can pick up a DVD player for 30 quid with a crystal clear picture. Gareth on Twitter, we had a Ferguson top loading one, which went pressing the eject button reacted like Arkwright's till in TV's Open All Hours. Dennis on Twitter, still got the Sony Discman and the JVC VHS player, Jace. Also, the old Nokia 9000 communicator. Fantastic. And Gareth that's been in touch, and I had one of these as well, Gar, and I'm pretty sure that a lot of my listeners will have had one of these, Gar, as well. I remember, Jason, having a watch with a calculator on it, state-of-the-art at the time. Trust me, you were the coolest kid in town if you had the old calculator on the old watch. Thank you, Gar. Do get in touch. These are magnificent text emails and tweets. And as I say, Cliff in Coychurch, Matt in Cardiff, come to you after the travel with Hannah. Look, thank you all very much for getting in touch. And look, we got so much work to do because Fevzi Turkalp is staying with me. He's having the time of his life, he told my producer. So thank you to Fevzi from GadgetDetective.com because apparently in the next 15 years, robots are going to be doing our washing. Security drones are going to be patrolling our houses as well. So it's all happening. But what we're doing is going back, retro stuff. So TVs, VHS, Walkmans, iPods, that sort of thing. I mean, we can even go back to the first time you had a colour telly, if you want. Let's find out what Cliff has got for us. He's been hanging on a while. All right, Cliff, how are you?
Good morning. I'm fine, thank you.
Good morning, my man. So what have you got?
Well, I have a couple of points. The first thing that I was going to tell you was I inherited from my father a Gem Edison phonograph complete with the cylinders in a box. And my father decided that it would look more natural if he painted the horn from its original colour, so he probably ruined it. And I've always been told it's probably not worth much money, but it wouldn't matter anyway because I've already given it to my eldest son. So I wonder what it would be worth these days.
Okay, well, that's a very good question. So I'm just looking at this now. So when does it date?
It's about 1900, I think.
Yeah, I was going to say, because I'm looking at one from 1908, and it looks like it's worth about £600. But I'll hand you over to Fevzi. And Fevzi, and this is amazing, a Gem Edison.
Yeah. So these are, you know, this is the stuff of HMV logo and so forth with cylinders and so forth. It's quite interesting because there's always a big difference between what people advertise items for and what they actually sell them for. But just having a look here. Yeah, it depends on the condition. I mean, there's ones that have gone for about £350, ones that have gone for a bit less than that.
Mm-hmm.
One that went for around 500, I'm looking at here
as
well.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I can see one at starting bid of £320 on some very popular auction website as well. Yeah. Cliff, what else have you got? Because my note says you've got a system you don't know about playing DVDs on.
A super-duper sound system, which is really good. But what can I play my DVD and CDs on?
Right, okay. Have you got a DVD player?
I've got 100 and so CDs, and I can't play the things on anything unless I go upstairs and put them into a TV.
But what about your DVD player? Where's that?
Well, you can't buy them anymore.
A DVD player? You can still get DVD players, can't you, Fevzi?
Yeah, you can still get them. Getting good ones these days is a bit harder because they tend to become commodity items, but you can certainly still buy them. And don't forget that even modern games consoles, some of them still have Blu-ray players in them that can also play DVDs. I'm not suggesting you go out and buy a PlayStation or an Xbox, but you might already have one and not realise that it can also play those older discs very often as well.
Yeah.
So, and the other thing I would say to you is, you know, you can give your existing hi-fi, you know, a lot of people spend. So hi-fi has changed a lot because it used to be sort of 70s and 80s and 90s. It was all about quality and you had these real sort of gearheads that were interested in the ultimate quality. And then when the iPod came along, Apple launched the iPod, it didn't become about quality, it became about quantity. How many songs could you fit on this thing that was the size of a, you know, pack of playing cards? And the quality went. So there's a lot of people with older hi-fi systems with really proper sort of Class A amplifiers and decent speakers and all the rest of it. And but you know, they were playing records and you know, cassettes and things on it. But what you can do, for example, is you can get a little adapter for about £15-20. It's a Bluetooth adapter. Bluetooth is a way of connecting things without wires, so you can send sound across them. So what you could do is you could get one of these devices, plug it into the aux or auxiliary input on your existing amplifier, and then suddenly you can stream audio to it from, you know, from your smartphone or your smart speaker or your tablet, your desktop computer even. So suddenly this old hi-fi system, which has still got great quality, gets a new lease of life, because because you can feed it music from all these new modern sources as well. So
that's a great bit of advice. Absolutely terrific. Cliff, nice to talk to you. Thank you. Matt's in Cardiff. Morning, Matt.
Morning, Jace. How are you?
Good morning. Good, thank you, man. What have you got for us?
Well, back in the late 80s, I bought it from an advert in a magazine. It was billed as the world's smallest computer. It was called a PD-2000, okay. Personal Directory.
Yeah.
I don't know what 2000 was. It was ahead of its time. But it kept all your information in there. It was the size of a credit card, and I was slim. Unfortunately, the battery ran out on it, and I couldn't find a replacement. But I had it for a good few years, and it was an amazing bit of kit. I've still got my Atari computer, keyboard, screen, and uploading the old floppy disks on, which I did my master's dissertation on when I was at Swansea University. And the dissertation is still on those disks.
No way.
Fantastic.
They get printed off. And lastly, Jake, I think I was ahead of the game with the Walkman. In the mid-70s, I used to have a Philips transistor radio, and I used to have a little earbud that you plugged in. And I worked in a very noisy industrial plant, and I spliced two earbuds together, and then I put one in each ear, and over them I put my ear defenders, and I'd listen to Noel Edmonds on Radio 1.
Now we're going back. Wow, that's fantastic. Matt, thank you very much indeed. Let's go to Carol in Sletchley. Good morning, Kat.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you doing? You okay?
Yes, thank you.
Good. Now, you've got a story about a jukebox.
Oh, right, yes. Well, when I left school, I'm going back now to 1965.
That's okay. Go back. Go back as far as you want.
They were 15 when I left school, so you can tell how old I am now. I went to the local cafe to work for a year, and they had a jukebox, and it was three songs for a shilling. A shilling then, it's 5p now, but it goes to different kind of coin then,
yeah.
And people used to go in and put the songs they wanted on, but some didn't know they were three. They thought it was just two, so I used to go in after they had gone and watch. There was a light on to show that it there was another song, but they didn't realise that, and I was pressing my songs out then. On a jukebox.
What songs were you? What would you choose?
Oh, well, in those days it was the Beatles, Dave Clark Five, yes. All the groups that were out at that time.
Now we're talking. Do you know something? Yes, I have to say,
and my favourite, Billy Fury.
Right. Okay. Listen, Kat. Right. And also, I let you into a little kind of a secret now. Yeah. And I hope my wife is listening, and I think she'll be put off by the price as well. I've always wanted a jukebox. Always.
Oh, it was great.
You know.
Youngsters were coming in. It was really great then.
I saw one once, Fevzi. I saw one once, a proper Rockola vinyl jukebox, and it was just unbelievable. I've seen this on the internet as well. Yeah. The prices, I mean, it's a whopper. But it's got such great memories. I'm not as old as Carol. I mean that in the nicest sense possible, Carol. But I do remember going to our local pub and sticking stuff on the jukebox. There was nothing better. Now, people plug their phones in and say to the bar staff, can you stick this on? And then their smartphone will play a playlist. But yeah. Nothing beats sticking a record on the jukebox, did it, Fevzi?
And actually seeing it, the disc being selected and coming out.
And seeing the machine, absolutely, the machine moving.
Yeah. Reminds me of the old, I don't know if you remember these, but Dansett record players, which were portable.
I remember the Dansett,
so
yeah.
So you used to be able to, they looked like a big fat briefcase, and you'd open it up and the speaker would be in the lid, and you'd be able to stack about half a dozen seven inch singles on it, and they'd drop down one at a time, and the hand would. My parents had one, and I took it apart to see how it worked, and of course it never worked again, and they were very good. They didn't put me up for adoption or anything, which I think, given, you see, in those days that would have been a really expensive piece of kit.
Yeah, absolutely.
And their kid took it apart with a screwdriver and a Stanley knife.
And do you know what, and I'm not making this up now, because I was always going to play this anyway, but this is how amazing things happen in radio. And Carol talking about a jukebox there, we had Jamie talking about a playlist. I had a cassette tape, a mixtape, and I swear that I used to play this. Right, I used to play this song. This was the second song after, I think it might have been Erasure was the first song. I put a mixtape together, might have been Erasure sometimes, and the second song was this. No word of a lie, this is just incredible. How amazing that this was in my playlist this morning. So I used to press play. This was the second track on my mixtape. happen. Right, by the way, Mike in Pontypool has a question. Fevzy, I'm so hoping that Fevzy can stay with me for the next 10 minutes or so. Fevzy, can you help Mike in Pontypool out?
If I'll do my best.
Okay,
yeah.
He says, technology question, Jace and Fevzy. What happened to 3D TV?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So 3D TV was based upon the industry's need to sell us more stuff. And it didn't work very well, and there was no single standard, and it was really hard to watch those TVs. Some people were complaining of headaches. Others were complaining that if their family was trying to watch it, the person smack in front of the telly would get, you know, the 3D effect, but the people at the sides wouldn't, or they'd all have to wear these really expensive glasses that didn't work with anyone else's TV. And it just was, it was a technology that was, first of all, before its time, and that there wasn't really a demand for. It was more born of their need to sell us more television sets.
Okay. I'm going to rattle through these, okay, because we're running out of time, and there are so many, and I really would love you to hear them all. Lloyd says, I still have and occasionally use a, is it Sagem or Sagem? Sagem. Sagem.
Sagem.
Sagem My X22, whatever that is, which dates back to 2004. It allows phone calls and texts only, does exactly what it says on the tin.
Yeah, I mean, it is amazing. I mean, it's basically what they call a feature phone or a dumb phone as opposed to a smartphone, but it does all the basics. And what's really interesting about those sorts of devices is they're not a jack of all trades. Now, a smartphone is really good as a mobile communication device, mobile computer, music player, everything. Doesn't really make very good phone calls. Do you remember the original mobile phones had antenna that were not only external but used to stick out like a finger out of the top of it, and used to get a good signal. And if you look, sometimes newer is not always better. If you listen to a phone-in program, where a lot of the people are now on cell phones, mobile phones, often you get dropped calls and poor quality. And yet, if you go back a bit, when people were using landlines or at least phones that had better antenna on it, it would work properly.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a lot to be said, you know, for the old phones. I will just tell you one thing. You were talking about old phones. Do you remember something called a Motorola StarTAC? It was one of the first flip phones.
Oh, I remember the flip, yes.
Yeah, so it was called a StarTAC. And I believe the reason it was called a StarTAC was because the engineers grew up watching Star Trek. And if you remember on Star Trek, there was the communicator where Kirk would, like, flip his wrist and it would swing open and he'd talk into it. And so talk about sort of... you know, life imitating art. You've got kids that grew up watching that, became engineers in Japan, and then designed a mobile phone that looked and worked like a Star Trek communicator, and then they called it the StarTAC.
Amazing. Absolutely incredible stuff. Harley says, I've still got a Casio Pocket TV with extendable aerial, Jason. I've got a Sony Walkman, an Amstrad telephone, and an email machine that came out in the 80s. Bryn in Cumbrian has got an old Amstrad computer that still works. Jermaine in Aberdare, he says, I'm 24. I've got a VHS VCR, still use it regularly. Just love the experience and nostalgia, as well as playing CDs in my car and listening to vinyl at home. Well, I'm with you on CDs and vinyl. I've got that as well, but a VHS VCR, I could never do that. You remember the tracking? You used to have that little button at the end.
Yeah.
I could never, ever understand why, given the fact that these machines at the time were expensive, why the picture quality was so rubbish.
Well, because it was cutting-edge technology. The ability to record video in your own home and without being the owner of a television studio was groundbreaking. You know, it's not just, oh, here's a computer, it's a bit faster than last year's one. This was something completely new.
Yeah.
We did before that. It was cinefilm.
Very true. Fevzy, can I be honest with all my listeners? I am every day. I'm going to say that we were actually booked you for 5 minutes and you stayed for an hour. I think that sums up how much fun you've had this morning. It's been brilliant, isn't it?
I refuse to leave. I've agreed to pay you more for the pleasure, but I've had a great time.
Just to be clear, that's not what happens. Guests don't pay me. That's not what happens. Thank you, Fevzy. You've been absolutely wonderful. Thank you. God bless. Have a good day. Fevzy Turkalp from GadgetDetective.com.